Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Forge D20's Thrones. I'm your DM, Hunter, once again joined by my players, Zach and Parker, and we are so happy and excited to begin the next episode of our journey. Last we left off, we had arrived to the city of Waterdeep and gained access to the city thanks to some oratory skills from Alistair No Diddy. Alistair secured us access to the city, we get inside, and shortly thereafter, we began our search for different members of that list that Nib and Botfizzle had given the party of persons of interest who could help them fight the dragon. We met Belgusta Thurden, who, after meeting him, we learned that he's searching for one of the people on our list as well, Agent Fastfoot, and they happen to be acquaintances, as far as we know, but they are in knowings of each other. Belgus searching for Agent here, and Agent is currently occupied somewhere within the city. The other person on the list they have not encountered yet, Gugu, they've decided they will put that off as they're searching for Agent because the Agent is on a mission himself for the Raven Queen. He seems to be searching for some sort of priest or religious leader for their temple here in the city of Waterdeep who's been kidnapped by agents of the Zhentarim. The party learned this after they visited the temple of the Raven Queen and shortly thereafter decided to take their rest for the evening. We will be picking up the next morning, where the party will feel very well rested. They'll have felt renewed in a way. You guys are making progress and have now begun your next day's journey into the city of Waterdeep. You know your objective is to find Agent Fastfoot, and to find him, you need to find the priest. I believe the last bit of information that we got about the priest was that he's in the port district of the city of Waterdeep, so we need to go north further into the city. Does the party need to do anything before we begin heading further into the city? Does there anybody needs to say anything? Or we're going to just go ahead and begin.
Yeah, Alistair's going to say something. As we're kind of, like, grabbing our bearings together and about to head out, Alistair's gonna be like, well, we need to head to the port district. But where exactly in the port district are we going? How are we gonna find our way there?
You raise an interesting question, Alistair. It is a large city. I imagine the port is quite large as well. We can't go searching each warehouse one after the other. I don't suppose we could just ask someone.
You guys are kind of walking along as you're having this conversation. You guys are, you know, you need to head north. You don't have a specific location. Daedalus turns to the two of you.
Perhaps we split up when we're there, maybe cover more ground and check the warehouses that way. It would take some time, maybe days, but we would find the right warehouse eventually.
Days? We don't have days. We need to act fast, Daedalus. I don't know if that's the best plan. Maybe it is best if we ask around. But who's gonna know where some Zhentarim warehouse is? It's got to be a front for something, right?
More than likely. Some sort of front, as you say, yes. It would be increasingly difficult to identify which one is actually a front and which one is real. I don't suppose you have any magic, Alistair, that would maybe reveal a path to the priest.
He kind of thinks for a moment, stroking his chin as he does so, looking up at the sky. Yeah, nope, I don't have a single thing that would be of benefit to us.
Oh, sir. As you look up and you say that, and then you go to look down, kind of looking at Daedalus, and you see just above Daedalus to because Daedalus is basically facing you. Behind him is north. And in the busy city streets, you see just above Daedalus' head to the right of him, like at a 1 o'clock perspective from his head, you can see a single raven sitting above a street post. Its eyes and your eyes lock. It tilts its head for a moment. And then immediately flaps its wings and takes flight further down the busy city street, directly heading north. Most people probably don't pay it any attention, but something about your intuition is just ringing at this point.
You see Alistair looking off in that direction. He raises an eyebrow. Raven Queen. Raven. Okay, this might sound stupid. Maybe. I just saw a raven. I don't know, something felt different about it. Like it was wanting me to follow.
Daedalus's eyes squint at you. Are you serious right now?
As serious as I've ever been, Daedalus.
Daedalus rolls his eyes very slowly. He looks over at Atheron, like, are you listening to this guy right now? And we're like, following Alistair.
Yep.
What does Atheron do?
Atheron is just going to go with the flow right now.
No expression.
Yep. Just... All right. Fuck it.
Better than nothing.
We take our way down the bustling city streets. And as we're going along, Alistair, you can see the raven clearly ahead. Every so often, the raven will stop, perch itself on a street lamp, or even perch itself up on a windowsill or a gutter on one of the buildings. Every so often, it takes a turn, and we keep following it down a street. Daedalus and Atheron following you, you following the raven. As this raven takes more and more turns, you notice more ravens begin to show up. And it goes from just one raven to then a handful flying down some alleyways, leading us through the twists and turns of the Waterdeep's many different alleyways, streets in these districts within the city. Eventually, this handful of ravens turns into almost a small flock. And as they're leading you further and further into the city, you make your way to the proper area of the actual port district. You can smell the salt on the air. You can feel the wind, the cold air coming off of the sea. And you can hear the many different shouts and calls of different midshipmen and dock workers ordering commands back at one another. And as you make your way through, this flock of ravens brings you to a very particular warehouse on the northeastern side of the port, kind of sitting off in a nestled edge near the water, all by its lonesome. As you guys arrive, you see the flock of ravens leads to the front door of this warehouse, and as it makes its way to the front door, the ravens immediately just kind of scatter before they just, they're gaining a lot of speed, and like right before they hit the walls, the door rather, this large oak door to this warehouse, they scatter in all directions, disappearing into the city streets around you, just kind of veering off in any what direction, none makes sense to you. Very clearly, Alistair, you can tell this is where you're meant to be. Daedalus looks and sees the same phenomena, looks at you, Alistair. Okay, maybe you weren't full of shit. Maybe you were onto something with the raven thing.
I have a question for you both before we go any further. Are you religious, perchance?
I would like to say I'm healthily skeptic. But also, there's no atheist in a foxhole at the same time. And we have seen the workings of the Lady of Luck amongst us. But I will not doubt it. Crazier things happen before my eyes. So, whilst I'm religious, I will say there may be powers at work that we don't understand.
Okay.
Why?
Hold on, I want to hear Hathron's answer. Hathron, are you religious, perchance?
I do believe that gods exist. But I know the only thing that will repay my faith is my axe.
Alistair purses his bottom lip and nods, respecting Hathron's answer, and then turns to Daedalus to answer his question. I ask because I grew up in a household where we worshipped a god. I have always believed in the divine, the prime deities. I just think whatever cogs the Raven Queen has going has led us here. I just think fate has an interesting way of working out, that's all.
Well, if the gods have anything to do with us being here, let's hope they're on our side. Louis in there somewhere. I suppose we should look for some sort of entrance. I mean, we could just knock on the front door, but perhaps we should look for alternatives.
Alistair strokes his chin. How high up is this building?
I would say it's about 2 stories tall in its height, in its length and width, though. Probably a good 60 by 80 in footage, okay, perimeter-wise.
Two stories.
That would be about 20 feet, yeah.
Okay. I like that. Alistair is going to be like, turn to Daedalus, give him a side eye. Want to see a new trick, brother?
He looks at you and raises an eyebrow.
What now?
Watch. And right as he says watch, he turns into black mist. And he reappears on the roof of the building.
I will let you all handle the ground attack. I'm a bit more on the range side.
Daedalus looks up at you. You can see his eyes got wide. Even from that angle, you can see his emerald eyes got wide seeing you perform such a magic. He calls out to you from city streets below.
See if you can locate the priest from up there. Hathoron and I will find a way in.
Alistair, he looks over at Hathoron.
Hathoron, do you want to search for alternatives, or does the front door work for you?
The front door is where I'm going to go.
Daedalus nods in agreement. Daedalus will perform a brief perception check just to see if he can find any alternatives, windows, anything he can use to kind of look inside. He's got zero to this.
Alistair's 11. Also going to roll his perception check as well.
Go for it.
To see if he can find some sort of vantage point. 8.
An 8?
Yes.
Okay. Alistair, on the rooftop of the warehouse, you can see different sort of stackings of elevation to this warehouse, and in between these stackings of elevation, you can see these sort of like windowsills. They're large enough for you to sort of open up. You would have to bust it open, potentially. I don't know if there's going to be a way for you to open it from the outside. You'll have to perform a separate check to kind of finagle that situation. But you can see inside from these windows that are perched up here. You sort of move up a little bit to about midway up the ceiling of this warehouse. You lay prone, and you crawl up to this window. You kind of brush the outside for a second, getting some dirt and dust off the outside windowsill. Nobody's been up here in ages. And you can see inside. At the same time, while you're doing that, I'm going to move Hathoron to the door, and I'm going to move Daedalus to where he's moving to. Daedalus, while he did his own check, noticed that there was a few different windows along the side of this warehouse that's still on the same street that Hathoron's on, but peers inside a little bit. Now, he can't see much. Daedalus does get to this window, and he can kind of see a light inside. But he can't get a glimpse of what's going on. He just sees a lot of barrels and large stacks of spices and rice and grain and crates that are kind of obstructing his view inside. But he does see a clear way that he could get in. Alistair, however, from your angle, you can see there's a few different lights throughout the warehouse. They're lone candles or torch sconces that are dimly lit, but in the middle of the warehouse towards the southwestern side, you can see a handful of people around a lantern, and that lantern sits next to a middle-aged man, the same middle-aged man that was described to you by the other priest of this is the archpriest, a bald man, dark complexion. It seems that this is indeed the Zhentarim warehouse, and those are Zhentarim agents, or thugs, surrounding the priest of the Raven Queen, the Archpriest. Is there anything in particular you or Hathoron would like to do?
Yes. I want to see if there's a way to open this glass that I'm looking through, to see if I can open it without having to, Eldritch Blast through it whenever we're ready. Is that investigation?
Yeah, you could use investigation.
Righty. 6.
It wasn't that high of a check. You can see that although this door or this window doesn't exactly open from the outside, you can see like there is a device, a locking mechanism that you could kind of finagle your rapier into and flick this little, I would say flap, and it would be able to open the windowsill, which you do with a little bit of
work. It's not easy. It takes a couple seconds. You make a little bit of noise, but not anything somebody that low down and far away while they're talking could hear or see. After you do this, can you perform me a perception check?
18.
An 18. Mm-hmm. As you look inside this warehouse, you can see that there are four beings currently around the Archpriest. You see a halfling male of olive complexion. He seems to be just kind of sitting off to the side on a small stool, eating an apple core that he's been chewing at while the interrogation goes on. A dwarven woman of dark complexion. She stands to the side with a hammer in her arms, just kind of every once in a while moving it and kind of twirling it around. You see a tiefling and a dark elf, the two of them doing most of the interrogating. They seem to be dialoguing with the priest and dialoguing with each other. Every once in a while, you can make out a word. You hear them talking about an artifact, specifically to the Raven Queen, or maybe not to the Raven Queen, but stored at the Raven Queen's temple. Something that they are keenly interested in. You can't quite make out the name of the artifact, but the priest pushes back and says that he won't tell them anything. At the same time, Alistair, as you're listening to this, you hear something in the background once again. You hear a fluttering of wings. Atheron, you see a flock of ravens once again come barreling down the street. They come from the northern side, barreling to the south towards Daedalus, and then they turn west rapidly to the southwest corner. Alistair, you hear the flapping of these wings. You see the flock go by. And as they wrap around to the southwest side of the building, you see they kind of funnel into a specific area, almost like they're going into the building, and they disappear. From here, Zach, I will let you take the floor to properly introduce Agent Fastfoot.
So, as the ravens begin to congregate inside this warehouse, they form into a cyclone in front of the two people that are interrogating the priest. And you can see that the two individuals interrogating the priest kind of step back in shock. And just as their feet go still, the tiefling, right next to him, you could hear this from up where Alistair is. You hear the sound of a muted, wet whisper. Whoosh! The sound of sword slicing flesh. Shortly after, a crimson arc paints the floor to the side of this tiefling, and the cyclone of crows begins to dissipate, and standing where the ravens once circled is a short-statured halfling. He stands at about 4 feet tall. His skin resembles the hue of fertile soil, and you can see the light peering through the windows in this building is casting this perfect contrast around his silhouette. His hair is tightly braided in multiple rows, reaching to about his shoulder length, and he has many piercings and tattoos. He's got a helix piercing, 3 on his left earlobe, he's got 1 on his eyebrow, and on his arm there is a tattoo that is of a white porcelain face with these white ravens that are outlined in black that are spattered in blood. His armor, his pauldrons, they resemble the feathers of a raven, so they are like blackish purple hue. His yoroi, which is like the samurai style armor that he wears, is purple, a lighter purple, obviously, than the raven feathers that are on his shoulder. And it's accented with these like silver trimmings to contrast. There is even intricate designs of Alistair wouldn't be able to see this, but I will say the viewer in a more like cinematic aspect, you would be able to see this, are little ravens kind of like flying around on his armor. After this, you can see, as he finishes his swing with his sword, killing the tiefling in one go, he's holding a katana in his, right hand. This katana has a black hilt lined with a gold accent on the outside and is spun with a purple grip tape, that looks slightly decayed, likely due to age and not lack of care. as this blade was perfectly sharp and clean, with the exception of the now fresh blood, now staining the shaft of it. At his side, there is a scabbard for his blade, which is white and also has depictions of ravens going up and down it. The drow woman, now seeing her comrade dies, begins to rush towards him. And you can see Agent quickly backsteps as she rushes him with a dagger. He immediately jumps up, posts up on her arms, and his legs, it gets unfathomably high. His legs are now mounted on her shoulders, and he begins to Hurricane Rana this bitch. Boom. Gets her in a full mount. He takes his blade, slices her neck. The other two, they see that this is happening. He begins to sprawl up, and the other two begin to charge him. He takes his left hand on the one charging he takes his left leg to the one charging to him on the right side and begins to set up a trip sweep and trips the person running to the right. And immediately as he does this, the other individual who was charging him tries to go down and stab him with a weapon of their own. Him seeing this coming, he barrel rolls up towards the prone individual's upper body. Therefore, the Zentarum stabs his ally. Agent, seeing this, takes his katana, places it right under the neck of the now prone, it is the olive-skinned halfling, and guillotines him upwards with his blade, immediately slicing his neck. His neck is basically like half cut open and his head fucking dangles. And he immediately sprawls back onto his feet. And this dwarven woman of dark complexion begins to charge towards him. And instantaneously, he's gone from their sight. They look around to see where he might be. And all you hear is that wet whisper of a sound once more. And in very old school samurai movie fashion, Agent Fastfoot is right behind them, already finishing his slice. And you could see a burst of crimson blood begin to emerge from the dwarven woman as she falls dead. He flicks his blade once more, staining the floor with a crimson ichor splatter, and sees additional Zentarum soldiers beginning as he now changes to a double-handed grip with his katana and is ready to fight.
The sight of this, Daedalus immediately springs into action. I assume Alistair would do the same. As Daedalus springs into action, Athron, you can clearly hear the sounds of fighting going on inside. Daedalus still kind of whistles over you. You can hear him call out to you and then nods his head as he busts the window down to get inside. All three of us roll initiative as we join the combat.
Hell yeah.
To help what seems to be Agent Fastfoot.
Oh,
let's get some thoughts.
Where she...
Whale.
Daedalus rolled a 15.
19 for Alistair.
Okay.
And Agent rolled a 9.
All right. Numbers in real quick. 9. And I'm going to roll for the thugs all at once. Makes it easier that way for me. Daedalus got a 15. Zentarum thugs, let's see. They got an 11. All right. Alistair Darkheart. So from your perch at the window, you see more Zentarum thugs after you watch Agent slaughter these four Zentarum operatives. You see to the northwestern side of the building, you see pouring through two sets of doors and two separate rooms, different men, different women, all clad in the colors of the Zentarum, the Black Network. They're all wearing sort of this black leather patchwork all over their armory. Weapons ranging from what looks to be spell staffs to long swords and a few even with great swords and hammers. They don't look to be properly confident in themselves regardless. They come out with some alarm to them, and a few of them that come out, you can see an active, even from this height, an active look of, oh shit, seeing the dead operatives in front of them. What do you do?
Agent seeing all this action going on in front of him, this short halfling immediately taking out four guys in basically one swift go, is shocked a little bit, but turns to see now 8-ish more Zentarm soldiers, and there ain't no time. Alistair's going to point his finger and speak a an invocation and cast Eldritch Blast towards one of them. Choose this one right here that I just double-clicked. That's the closest to Agent Fastfoot. Let's see, I'm gonna roll. 19 plus 5 is 24.
Oh, you hit? You said the one closest to Agent?
Correct.
Okay.
So, D10 plus 3 here, so that's a 7. Total force damage as
describe
a...
how you...
Huh?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead and describe how you kill this guard.
Oh, shit. You okay. Want him. Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck. Okay. Alistair's going to point his finger, speak an infernal invocation, and boom, this black mist begins to shoot out of his finger, and immediately you can see the black mist hits this Entarm soldier, and they become a frozen statue.
Oof. They're kind of running out, and you see them frozen, stop looking at Agent. They don't even realize you're there. They're looking at Agent when they're frozen. A couple of the other nearby thugs all have reactions. One even shouts out, "By the gods!" As their friend is now frozen forever, dead, in a blank stare. Anything else, Alistair?
Let's see, I do have a bonus action, but do I really want to use that? I got one spell slot left. I think... Okay, yeah, I could have done this first, but I'm gonna Hexblade's Curse this one right here.
Okay.
The one in the middle.
Hexblade Curse that one. He watches this black mist kind of envelops around his torso. He kind of looks down, seeing it. He doesn't feel anything, but he can see the smoke kind of billowing around his body.
And that's all.
All right. Moving on to Daedalus. Daedalus is actually going to sort of take a step back, and he's going to just kind of jump through the window using his half plate to kind of take the brunt of the impact and bust his way through. As he gets through the window, he's going to use his entire action and bonus action to dash further inside. So let me just go ahead and do a quick little measurement here. Well, he could get 30 feet and then do a ranged attack. No, I want him to get it. He already moved 5 feet, though, so he'd be, like, right here. Yeah, Daedalus is going to use his whole action, bonus action, to sprint and get up there in front of the bad guys. Daedalus moves up in front of... since he's got his full action, he'll actually move over here and kind of... Daedalus runs up and runs in between Ajin and the priest, kind of moving around them to... get into the front first, like this initial wave of enemies as he comes careening in. Daedalus knocks over a few barrels, a few crates on his way in, just kind of hulking his way through things. As he makes his way through, he looks at the few Centaur thugs around him, and he just readies himself for combat. Now we go to Hatheron. Hatheron, the door lays closed in front of you, but you can hear the sounds of combat, magic and blades clashing and creating all sorts of commotion. What do you do?
Hathron opens the door.
The door's locked.
Of course it is. Hathron is going to kick the door. It's my favorite line to say in D&D is Hathron opens the door. I'm going to kick the door.
All right. I'll let you use a minor action for this. So you just give me your bonus action. Go ahead and roll me a strength check.
Great.
9. You kick the door, and you see some give. You kick it right beneath the sort of hinge, and you see a bit of give and some splintering going off from the door, and you see a bit of it caving in, but it's a solid oak door. It's a good couple inches thick. It ain't going to give after one little measly kick. You're going to have to actually put an action into this.
I'm gonna hit the door with my fucking axe.
Go for it.
Eighteen
hits. I'm not gonna have you roll damage because you already kicked it. You take that axe and you just say, fuck this, and you just take that axe and bring it down overhead and crash it into the door, and he watches the thing buckles from the pressure. The center of the two doors is splitting open. The doors go careening open, and you can see the front set of three thugs over here all turn to see the door and light come shining in, and standing on the opposite side of the light, they see this 7-foot tall half-orc standing there with this orc, and he's just huffing. As you're just staring at these three thugs and their eyes get real wide, and you hear one go, oh, shit. You still have your movement. Aphra?
Yeah, hang on, I'm thinking. I was reading something. You know what? I'm going to move 5, 10... 20, 5, 30. Yeah. Right there. I've now moved. And that's all I can do.
All right. After Atheron goes, it is now Agent Fastfoot's turn.
Agent is going to place a hand on the shoulder of the priest. Give him a nod as he starts to charge to this one over here and quickly maneuvers himself over there, and he's going to slice with his katana. Be a plus 5 to hit, a 21, and he's wielding this with two hands, so it will do a d10 of damage, plus 5. Oh, max damage, 15 points of damage.
Describe how Agent downs this thug of Zentarin.
He just starts charging forth and pulls his arms back and lunges it straight through their lower jaw up out of their skull and then takes it out.
Oh my goodness.
Dead. Does he get a second attack? Yeah, I don't think so. No, he does not. All right, let's see what bonus actions he has. Not reactions. I believe that will be his turn.
All right. We go back to the top. Alistair, it's your turn.
Alistair is going to hit the one that he just Hexblades cursed with his Eldritch Blast. So, where the fuck? There it is. That is a plus, oh, come on, bro. Plus 5 to hit. 23.
Not 23 even hits.
And he's going to take 3 plus 3 is 6 damage, plus Hexblade's Curse, I believe, is a d6.
Well, that d6.
Oh, I get, nope, I get a plus 2 to damage rolls.
Describe how you kill this.
Nice. Just like the first one, it's boom, shoots the Eldritch Blast and he freezes in place.
My goodness, we got two statues in here with us now. There's now like a visible frost as well forming on the ground beneath the first statue, and it's kind of like slowly reaching out further and further. Is that it for Alistair Darkheart's turn?
That will be it.
We move to Daedalus. Daedalus is going to move over to these two thugs on the left-hand side. There's three sort of near the far room. He's going to move up to the closest two to him. And he's going to take a swipe, I believe.
Level 2 fighter to get action surge. Level 2, right?
No, because the agent doesn't have action surge. He's a samurai
action
fighter.
Action surge is a fighter.
Oh, he does. Oh, dang. Oh, well.
Daedalus is going to go ahead and he's going to take a swing at the first thug to his left-hand side. He's going to brandish his sickle and take a swing at his legs. See how this goes. That is a 23 for Daedalus. That definitely hits. Zero is damage. That's a 10. You see Daedalus rear his sickle back at a sort of 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock position, and he just wreaths it down in this sort of circular motion towards the ankles of this thug, and he just sweeps out one of his legs, disconnecting it from his body. As the thug's leg goes up, Daedalus brings the sickle back down and finishes the job with a quick strike to the chest. Action surge, he's then going to step towards the other thug, and just with a quick little slice towards the, just horizontally towards the torso of the next thug, just try to disembowel this guy. That's a 16 that hits. And a 4, so that becomes a 9. That also kills. So he immediately goes from sweeping that guy's legs out and bringing the sickle back down into his torso to taking a few steps sort of in this dashing quick strike, slicing into the belly of this thug, disemboweling him. You watch as portions of his guts come just careening out of him. He just spills out of himself and falls to his knees and then plops dead. Daedalus drops those two thugs and then with the rest of his movement moves towards the third one that came out of that room. One of the last few thugs. There's 3 left. That is the end of Daedalus' turn. Hathoron, you watch as these thugs are just dropping one by one by one. You're going to miss all the action if you don't get moving. And you can feel this rage begin to build within yourself. Bloodshed. You need it. You crave it. What do you do?
All right, I'm going to move in between these two guys. Right here. And then I'm going to enter a frenzy.
Oh, goodness.
And then I'm going to attack the one on the right with my great axe.
Die.
So 21.
That hits.
Okay.
I love how you aptly named your axe 1d6 ice damage.
So I remembered it, yeah. So it's going to be... it's going to be 6, and then I gotta roll the d6.
My great axe. 1d6 ice damage.
So he takes 10 damage.
Don't forget your strength modifier on your additional swing for your axe. Because your great axe is a d12 plus your strength. So you'll get your initial 6 plus your strength modifier. No, you rolled a 1 and that gave you your strength modifier.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't know it already included it. My bad. So it is 10. Wow, that's the lowest roll I've ever seen you do. Yeah. Describe how you kill that thug.
Oh, I'm not done. I'm in frenzy. I'm going to attack the one next to him.
Okay. See if you kill this other one, and then describe how you kill them both in succession.
Hey. 13.
Just enough. Just enough.
12. This guy's dead as fuck.
They are... The first one... He's dead. You know, he's dead. He's not fighting back. But the second one, you completely eviscerate.
Do damage to the second one. All right. So what happens is I swing into the first one, and my axe is lodged in his like his midsection. Like his spine stopped my axe from going through.
Oh shit!
And so Hathoron, with his left hand on the back of the hilt of the axe. Kind of like reaches his leg up like he's gonna like Spartan kick or something, and Spartan kicks the other side of the axe through the torso of the first guy, and it cleaves through the rest of him and then hits the other guy, also cutting him in half.
Oh my god. So there's just a bunch of dead bodies currently around Hathoron.
Their corpses freeze or something, I don't know.
There's ice visibly on the wounds where you see they've been separated. The stump where their legs are for both of them, you can see the wound is like cauterized by the ice of your blade from the dragon's magic. And then Is there anything else Hathron can do?
Let me see.
You have 3 attacks, right?
Ooh, yeah, technically I think.
And you have
a
movement.
Right.
You could go kill the last guy. Because I think you can use your because you have 2 attacks, and then when you do your frenzy rage stuff, you get a 3rd one. It gets rid of your bonus. It makes your bonus action a 3rd attack. I'm pretty sure.
Well, only frenzy, because I don't want to use a rage. But don't I have? Here we go. Rage on reckless. You make your first attack. And you... Oh, I should have did this first, but. Danger sense, promo pass, frenzy. Thought I had a. Not that I can see at the moment. I thought I had a 2nd attack, just basically, but I don't see one.
So if you go to your attacks, it should say the number of attacks you have.
Yeah.
Look at your sheet.
Just basically, one. I have 1, unless I frenzy or crit.
Attacks per action, 3.
3?
No, attacks per action, 1, but you're level 4. Level 4, you should have 2. At least that's what I thought it was level 4, you get 2. And then, let me just double check. Yeah, while in a frenzy, you can use a single melee weapon attack as a bonus action on each of your turns.
I did that. That's how I went through the other guy. That's how I killed 2 of them, was the frenzy. But I should have, yeah. Sorry, I did that.
Oh, you get extra attack at the 5th level.
You get it at the 5th level, okay.
Bitch.
All right, well, that's your 2 actions. That is it for your turn there, my brother. Do you wish to move, or are you good there?
I'll move. I'm not going to, like, steal your glory or nothing, but I'll move behind Daedalus, just in case. Because that's where the last
Wherever you
guy
want.
Is, right?
Yeah, right there, this guy.
Right.
You want to be where? Behind
right,
Daedalus?
Right here. Yeah, okay. That's good.
All right. From Hathron, we go to Ajin.
Ajin is going to start running towards the final one. There are these barrels here. He's going to hop on barrel 1, hop on barrel 2, and then he's going to take his blade overhead and jump attack on top of this last guy here.
All right, go ahead and roll your attack.
17 plus 5 is 23. 22, sorry. Math bad.
I cannot see your roll, my brother.
Because my thing is broken, I can show you my roll if you want.
No, I believe you. I just want to make sure that it was actually being rolled, that's all.
Yeah.
You hit them. Go ahead.
So 5 plus 5 damage.
You kill. How does Agent kill the last thug? He jumps, takes the blade overhead.
Takes the blade overhead. The momentum from the jump is so strong, and his swing is so technically perfect, he perfectly slices this guy in 2, bisecting him.
As you come careening to the other side of the individual, as you kind of jump over, as you slice through him, there's just a thunk, and the guy's body kind of hops. His eyes get real wide, and you hear him go, and then there's a slide to his body, and he just thump, and you watch as the upper half slides off the lower half, and then the lower half collapses. And with that, we have come to the end of the combat. Standing before the party, Alistair, you're way up on the roof, but you can see this. Standing before you, Hathron, and Daedalus, is one of your persons of interest. The assassin, or samurai, or warrior, dedicated to the Raven Queen. champion of the Raven Queen, Agent Fastfoot. And that is where we will end tonight's session. I want to thank all of you for joining us for another episode of Thrones. I appreciate you being here. I want to thank my players. I want to thank you, Zach. And I want to thank you, Parker, for being here and joining me for another session. I've had a wonderful time and a great session.
Thank you for
running. I hope you all enjoyed just as much as, of course, brother. I hope you all enjoyed listening and joining us on another episode of our adventure. Next time, we will continue our way through the city of Waterdeep, see the ramifications of what's going on here with Agent, and hopefully locate another person of interest to join us in our fight against the dragon. And with that, I want to say thank you from everyone here at Forge D20, and we will see you next time. Y'all take it easy.
Take it easy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Thrones. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen all the way through. You guys are the reason why we keep doing what we do, and we love and appreciate your support. I want to give a special shout out to our patrons on Patreon, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. Take it easy.